Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
School of Humans. All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals. This is a show where we talk about all the ways you could die to cope with our own mortality. Look at us, we're all mentally fit now because we've been doing this show. I'm your host, Gabby, along with Taylor.
Hello.
Also known as Taylor, and also Nika.
Hi.
So we're going to hear the story about how nine hikers mysteriously died in Russia. You might have seen some flashy reporting on it recently. And also Nika's going to tell us about a man who was a little bit too obsessed with a woman and it got really messed up. So we're going to have some fun, right, guys? It's going to be so fun. Okay, some trigger warnings for today are corpses, decomposition, burning things, getting lost, mystery.
Mystery.
Mystery can be very mystery. Triggering. Some people want concrete answers and we
can't.
They need closure. Also, scary, supernatural monsters, ? So those aren't really trigger warnings as much as they were.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound very triggering, but okay.
Hey, that's the thing about triggers. They are so specific to people, okay?
That's true.
Also, as always, three women talking. There is a trigger.
That's always a trigger for someone. Someone out there is very triggered right now.
All right, cue alligator music.
Cadaver Gals.
So here we are, the Cadaver Gang, ready to talk about some mysteries. This is where the mystery trigger warning comes in. So
you're jumping right into it.
We're jumping right into the mystery. All right, Taylor, take it away.
Okay. We're going to hop into our imagination airplane.
And we're going over to Russia.
Imagination airplane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we can't get in a real airplane right now. We're going to Russia in 1959, or I guess the Soviet Union, as it was at the time, and specifically the Ural Mountain Range. It's about 1,600 miles long, 93 miles wide, and elevations over 6,000 feet. So not super big, but, you know, it's It's a big daddy, I would say.
Wait, how is that not big?
I don't know. Well, because I looked up the largest and it was like millions of miles or something. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a lot.
It couldn't be millions of miles.
I know. That was a little bit dramatic, but it was a lot.
No, bigger. Not high though. You mean like across?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. A million miles high would be space.
Right.
Good morning, everyone. That was great, Gabby. Listener, just so you know, we're recording earlier for scheduling purposes, and I am half dead. And Gabby clearly has very smart journalistic questions and ideas.
I always do.
This will be unique. You're getting a whole different version of us. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, the adventurous types, they like to go skiing, hiking, and that's what these 9 college students did in January of 1959.
I didn't do that shit in college.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. The adventurous types. So you're not adventurous then, and neither am I, which is fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Everyone on Tinder are like, I'm adventurous, but are you? Would you go to that mountain range? Take adventure off your Tinder bio if you wouldn't go to that mountain range and die.
Also, everyone who wants to go on adventures, they're always like, adventures, and I love dogs, and I love breweries. I'm like, this was the last 35 profiles, so you don't like adventure. You're boring. Anyway.
Okay, I like those things, but it's fine. Okay.
Adventure for them is like fighting off COVID by going to a brewery on a weekend. Anyway.
Okay, so.
Which we did, by the way, listener. We did that last weekend.
Okay. All right, let's reel it back in.
Okay, we're back
in the Soviet Union in 1959. All of these people were regular hikers and skiers. It was their winter break at school, so they made a plan to ski 200 miles over the course of 16 days, which that seems like a lot of miles.
Wait, over 16 days?
Mm-hmm. That seems like a lot to me. I don't know.
I think that's a normal amount because based on how I imagine like in Middle Earth and Lord of the Rings, I think they're doing like 20 miles a day when they're trying to get to Mordor or something like that. So I think 20, that's about like a little bit more than 20 miles a day, but it's on skis, so you'd be faster than walking across Gondor and Middle Earth.
200 divided by 16 is 12 and a half.
Oh, well, that seems so easy peasy.
That actually doesn't seem that bad. Okay, anyways, math.
Honestly, they should have challenged themselves.
Okay, we'll get to some challenges here in a minute. Honestly, though, nothing sounds worse to me than camping in snow.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Like, camping is one thing, but camping in snow? Buh. 16 days, that's too many. Anyways, so on January 28th, one of the hikers cut the trip a little bit short. He had like some knee and joint pain. So he left, and the leader of the group told the guy who left early, he was like, hey, we'll let you know when we get back. We'll be back around the 12th of February. We'll hit you up, let you know how it goes. Go to that brewery, you know, have a grand time. So the 20th of February rolls around and no one has heard from anyone in the group. So friends and family are worried. Search party goes out. Went to go find them. The army gets involved. Planes, helicopters searching the area. So on February 26th, the searchers find their campsite. And the campsite was hella sketchy looking. They had all 9 boots were lined up against a wall. And then they found their tent with all of their belongings inside, like food, clothes, everything. And the tent was ripped open or slashed open from the inside, and then 9 sets of footprints running away from the tent like they were trying to escape from something. And then bonus, all of these footprints were either barefoot or like had socks on, and there was like 1 boot footprint. And it is like between negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit and negative 60 degrees Fahrenheit. It is very cold. So you can't be...
Ew, that is so cold.
Yeah. And they knew this. They're experienced hikers. They know that you can't just be running around in the snow. So, like, something happened.
Well, what happened, Taylor?
Is it a bear?
Is it a bear?
That was my first thought. A bear got them.
Who? It's possible. Okay. So the investigators follow the footprints, which leads them to some woods, and then the tracks disappear. Dun, dun, dun. Or they were just covered up with snow, which is very possible.
This is also like Lord of the Rings, where Aragorn sees Merry and Pippin's footprints in the two towers, and he tracks them into the woods.
Okay, great. So Morning Gabby basically is Lord of the Rings references. That is so good to know.
I don't think that's just morning time.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard Gabby talk so much about Lord of the Rings in one episode, but keep going. I actually really like it.
Okay.
I actually like what you're doing.
This time it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, this time.
So eventually the searchers, they find the first two bodies, and they are found near some fire remains. These bodies were barefoot, and they were only wearing, like, long underwear. So they were, like, they didn't have shirts on. They were practically naked in the cold. But they were by what looked like a campfire. They had made a fire to try and stay warm. There were also, like, some branches that were, like, kind of cut down. It looks like somebody, like, tried to climb a tree to, like, see, like try to find a way out or something. We don't know because we're not them. And then later, three more bodies are found, and they assumed that they were heading back to the tent. They were like kind of like on their way back. And then the last four hikers were not found for another 2 months because they had been covered up by snow. They were more adequately dressed, though. They took some of the clothes from like the other body, like their friends or whatever. So maybe that's why they were naked or something. I don't know.
That's bleak.
Yeah. So now we have all of the bodies. So an investigation and autopsies take place. So it's found that six of them died from hypothermia, which makes sense. It was very cold. One died from chest trauma, which caused internal bleeding. One had like a partially crushed skull. And the last one had chest trauma. And I don't know like which one of which, but like one of them was missing a tongue and one of them was missing their eyes.
Oh.
Yeah.
A bear like wouldn't just go for the tongue and the eyes, right? Like they're not picky like that.
So Nika's theory, she crushed it. It's gone. She no longer thinks it was
crushed
a bear.
Like the skull. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. And then also during the autopsy, they found traces of radiation on all of the hikers. And remember, we're in Russia. So this is like all very sus.
This is sus as hell.
Yeah.
It's sus because we're in Russia.
It's sus in general, but it's even susser because, you know, Russia. Soviet Union. We had Stalin was doing his thing, which, by the way, have you ever seen a picture of Stalin when he was younger?
Was he fine?
I swear if you tell me he was hot.
So cute.
Noah.
Yeah, sorry. I know. It's bad. It's bad.
Was he more of like a Samwise Gamgee cute or more like a Frodo Baggins cute, like kind of an edgier cute?
I've never read or seen Lord of the Rings. Sorry.
Even I have.
Oh, even Nika has.
But that's just because a boy. I never actually sat down and said, I want to watch all of these by myself.
Great. So
me neither. I've never said that yesterday.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it, so I can't make that reference. But he was like hipster cute.
Okay, so probably like Frodo Baggins.
Okay. Dictate me, daddy. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so the hikers had actually, they had documented their whole trip, which was nice because they were at least able to put together like what happened up until that event and everything seemed to be going dandy. But then obviously something happened, slashed the tin open, leaving all their stuff. So the investigation happens and the investigation, they say that they all died from an elemental force that the tourists were unable to overcome. And the case file is classified. They're like, super top secret. Don't look into it. They just, something happened and they weren't able to survive it. Like, that's literally what
right,
they said.
Totally normal. Totally normal. Elemental force. What?
An elemental force. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I feel like that could describe any death. An elemental force happened.
Yeah, literally. So this led to all kinds of rumors and conspiracies, which is my favorite part. Oh, and also, while I was doing my research, one of the articles that I read was kind of talking about how conspiracies come about. And like in the U.S., it's, you know, your average schmo watching the news or whatever. And he's like, well, well, hell, you know, and then just like make something random up. I'm pretty sure that's what they do first. Like, oh hell, this is too weird. It must have been whatever. I don't know. I can't even think of a conspiracy right now.
Okay. Oh hell, these politicians must be lizard people.
Exactly.
I don't know how you make that connection, but people do.
They do somehow, some way. I don't know. But in Russia, or the Soviet Union, rumors start at the top, like start at the government, and they suggest them to the people, which is like really strange to me.
That's cute.
Okay, this is my favorite. So in 1990, the former Communist Party leader that was like near, of like the town that was nearby, told newspapers, like an article went out, and then he like responded to it saying that there was a possible UFO. And he said that balls of fire were seen in the area. It turns out...
I like how his accent's like that.
Because I think everyone with a conspiracy theory has this like southern accent, I guess. I don't know.
Even if they're Russian, right?
Exactly.
There are balls of fire in Russia. This is how we talk down there.
Surely they have like a southern strange accent, right? Like in their own version.
Yeah, they're certainly a southern.
All languages have accents within their language. Anyway.
And that's the one that is accurate to where this is.
Yeah. So he said that balls of fire were seen in the area, but turns out that was from some missile tests that happened like after the event. So they're like, whatever, that's not a thing. But the same guy also said that it could be indigenous people or radiation from weapon tests. But then this dude actually was like, I'm thinking it was, quote, a heat ray or strong energy that is unknown to us. So this dude, he's like 100% aliens.
Helpful.
So this one dude, he's like a politician or was a politician. He was like, definitely aliens, UFOs. That happened. Others are like, it was definitely the abominable snowman. And he took out everyone, whatever, freaked them out. Makes sense. Others are like, no, it's Arctic dwarves, which I just like didn't even have time to go down that rabbit hole. I was like, what is an Arctic dwarf? I don't know. I did like one Google and I was like, this is too much. Can't handle it right now. And then others are like, oh, they saw something that they shouldn't have. And it was like some KGB action or something. And a lot of people are like, the government and the military definitely involved.
Yeah, because like every single theory that we've said so far is like fantasy. So I'm like, where are the legit conspiracy theories, if there is a legit conspiracy theory?
Don't you worry. Let's fast forward to 2020. Literally last year.
Oh, no.
No,
I hate 2020.
I know 2020 was terrible, but they were like, we need to figure this out. This is the time. We're in quarantine. We got to solve this. And let's be real this time. None of this UFO, none of this Bigfoot.
Arctic dwarves.
None of these Arctic dwarves, like whatever.
With a tongue fetish.
So anyway, so last year, American and Russian scientists say that severe winds came in through the mountains, creating a vortex. Oh, wait, this is one possibility. Created a vortex, which produced a low frequency sound that vibrated in their ear, causing nausea and psychological discomfort, which could explain them fleeing the tent.
Right.
Possible. Sure. Why not? But then kind of like the latest and greatest theory is that there was a really small avalanche that came in, causing the group to panic, leave their tent, got lost, and succumb to the elements. Now, this would explain injuries of like falling debris. The snow, they were saying that the snow was super heavy. You know, they're saying that that's probably the most likely. There wasn't a lot of evidence of an avalanche, but they're saying that it could just be like super small and it just like freaked them out. But not everyone's convinced, as you can imagine. You know, a lot of people are saying that that it wasn't steep enough for an avalanche like that to happen. And they also were saying like, no, these hikers were smart enough. They would know not to build a camp at the bottom of like where an avalanche could happen. So basically, we may never know for sure, but the most likely scenario is an avalanche. Personally, I think that maybe it was Arctic dwarves. But I'm actually thinking UFO, but maybe it was these aliens that were also, they could have looked like the Arctic dwarf.
Yeah, the avalanche thing just like doesn't track, because like if what they're saying is, oh, they panic, then it's like, okay, I too gouge my eyes out, like, when I panic. Well, like, what?
So that could actually be relatively easily explained by, like...
Oh, tell me.
By, like, well, there's not a lot of decomposition going on because it's cold, right? But, you know, animals, birds, that sort of thing...
Oh, you think that it happened after he
post-mortem,
died?
Yeah.
He or she died. Oh, okay.
That's what they got the tongue.
The tongue. Maybe a greedy crow.
I don't know.
A crow that.
An Arctic tongues. Crow dwarf got the eyes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, it just gets worse.
But so, the ones who were covered in snow, I guess it wasn't enough snow to be like an avalanche, and also they could see their footprints, so that's suspicious, because if they could follow their footprints, why weren't the hikers able to just like follow their footprints back?
So one of the theories is, so the ones that were covered up by snow, that was the avalanche, right? And it covered mm-hmm. them up. The people in the tent hear this or whatever, though you would think that they would still put on maybe some clothes or their boots at least, and probably go out the exit of the tent rather than slash it
instead
open.
Instead of like slashing, yeah. You know, like a Liam Neeson movie.
But so they were saying that maybe they were such close friends that they would, you know, definitely go and try and rescue them. So they were saying that maybe that's what they were trying to do. And so the avalanche came and they couldn't find them. And then so they could only follow their footprints. So it was like not over their tent necessarily, but it was, you know, it got to those other people, in which they had more clothes on. So that also makes sense that they may have been out and prepared or something. There you go. There's another story of mine where we don't know, really.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
You love those stories, Taylor.
I do. I love a good mystery.
So trigger warning mystery. and, you know, your hopes and dreams of having a nice conclusion are, you know, you don't get those. You don't get to have your dreams come true. So sorry.
I think you can pick which one you like the best, though.
Yeah, history. Which pick what you like best.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, no. In this scenario.
Well, Taylor, thank you for leaving us hanging.
You're
and,
welcome.
You know, putting that knot in our stomach where we're like, oh, I just want to be satisfied with the conclusion and I don't get it. So I thank you so much.
No, it was an avalanche. That's scientists are like avalanche.
But also.
But the conspiracy theorists out there are like, no.
Arctic dwarves.
Homicide or something.
And also maybe the Yeti. And speaking of the Yeti, that's so crazy that I just brought it up, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Yeti after the break.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
thought they were going to kill me. So I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, welcome back to Cadaver Gals. Taylor was just telling us about nine hikers who mysteriously died in the Soviet Union in the 1950s. And Taylor, you did bring up that some people thought it was the Yeti, perhaps. The abominable snowman, as we like to call it in the United States here. But I think it is extremely unlikely that a Yeti would have done this, or the Yeti, however many Yetis you think there are, because the Yeti actually has a very gentle demeanor and a sacred background. They're actually, they come from some Sherpa and Tibetan Buddhist practices, and they're in that kind of lore in that area. So I want to kind of sort of talk about a Yeti, and I really want to do, like, in defense of the Yeti, why a Yeti wouldn't have done this, because they seem like they're really nice.
Yeah, I think that they're really sweet and snuggly. Like, they would have, he would have, like, cuddled them and kept them warm, I think, probably.
Well, like that Monsters, Inc. Yeti. The first thing, when I hear Yeti, that's the guy I think of, the one who makes the yellow popsicles.
I love him.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, in a lot of other, you know, sort of American movies and Western movies, you know, often it's the abominable snowman. But I think it's a bad representation, because basically this negative connotation around the Yeti came about in 1921 when there was a dude who was talking to a British newspaper, and he said that he had seen the Yeti many years back, and he made the unfortunate word choice of abominable when he was describing it. And he was saying how it was really scary, formidable hands, also said some racist things about comparing it to someone who is Chinese. And then, yeah, he was really scared and it was called it a beast. But here's the thing. The real origin of the Yeti comes from Sherpa folklore. The word Yeti derives from a Sherpa dialect that means cave-dwelling bear, and there's two different, like, Yeti creatures. One has four legs, so it's most likely just like a bear, and then there's also the bipedal Yeti that is closer to human size. There's a lot of people who, you know, believe they are real creatures, and they describe them more as like an ape instead of a bear. And, you know, they're saying that Yetis are, they're nocturnal, they like to yell out, they let out a wild shriek sometimes. And also, notably, they're feminist. You know, the leader of their packs are female.
Oh, so, good. Ooh, I love that.
This is one interpretation of the Yeti.
What do you think they sound like, Gabby?
Great. That's exactly what I was wanting.
I'm saying this because I am a Yeti. That is what I'm
You
I'm
are the leader out. Of the Yetis.
I am the leader of one pack of the Yetis. But this sort of comes from more Buddhism ideas, because there's this one idea that there was the manifestation of a female god and a male god, and the female was a rock ogress and the male was a monkey, and they made it, and that made the Yeti.
Oh.
Oh my God.
So that's like the deity Yeti idea.
I like that.
And there's a lot of debate in like Buddhism. They're like, can a Yeti actually practice Buddhism? Because usually Buddhism is limited to the human form. But they're like, well, they're kind of human. They have human characteristics. So yeah, maybe a Yeti can be a Buddhist. Okay. And so obviously with the Buddhists, you know, that's sort of it's a nicer, calmer, more pacifist idea of like what a Yeti is. They're gentle and kind, because there is this one story of this one Sherpa Buddhist who like went to go pray in a cave. And a lot of times when these religious leaders would do that, people would, you know, come and bring them food and water for their meditation. But in this story, there was a Yeti who actually did that. So it's saying the Yeti was helping this Sherpa Buddhist.
What a king. Oh my gosh. I want a Yeti to just hold me in their big arms and like, just like keep me warm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there's like paintings and like imagery and like Tibetan Buddhism of Yetis, and they seemed like nice people, nice human-ish type people to hang out with. But also, you know, there is this other idea where the Yeti is sort of, the Yetis are thought to be manifestations of a deity that's there to maintain the harmony of community. So if you do act out, they will create the Yeti to, you know, restore order, and the Yeti will do whatever it takes. So, you know, the Yeti could be dangerous to you. Like if you hear a Yeti, see a Yeti, that could be a bad omen at the same time. But in general, it seems like, you know, they're not just these monsters. They're like, they're just trying to make sure everyone has like, you know, their say, their voice, the communities in harmony. That's what they're trying to do.
I love that.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe the Yeti did it because maybe these hikers were doing something.
Mm. Honestly, Yetis have big dick energy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up, Mika. But I'm feeling, you know, the Yetis, maybe they had to maintain harmony, and maybe that's why they had to get rid of these hikers. But I also do not see them as, like, aggressive. So Yeti, I think I just proved the Yeti theory. So you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because they have a different disposition. You know, they're not these evil monsters trying to rip out people's tongues. They wouldn't do that kind of shit. No. They would not.
No. I'm in love with a Yeti.
Yeah.
I'll just say it.
I'm in love with the Yeti. Okay, Nika, now that we've established your attraction to the Yeti, it is time for you to tell us a new story.
I think that this story actually does have a conclusion.
Oh, good.
Oh. I know. I'm bringing you guys the goods.
Okay, well, let me do another trigger warning. Trigger warning, drawing conclusions. Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's go for it, Nika.
This is a story for romantics and also for people that are deranged. You know, I
Same
see
thing.
You all, I hear you all, and I present to you this lovesick or just sick man known as Carl Tanzler. This is a really intense story. Buckle up, put your little seatbelts on, strap on with your strap-ons, let's get it. Okay. It's 1930s, and Carl is this German-born radiologist who immigrated to Florida after World War I. He spent some time in Australia, then he moved to Holland, I believe, and then he moved to Florida because his sister was there. So he's in Florida with his wife and his two daughters, and they settle into American culture, okay? Now, let me just say this. This man left his family and moved to Key West to work in a marine hospital as an x-ray technician, like maybe 2 years into living in Florida. So y'all know how I feel about men who leave their families. Like, for me, this man's already canceled, but he's going to get more canceled. Let's
Terrific.
Continue. Yeah. So he's in Key West living his single life, whatever. He's 50 at this point, and he meets this 22-year-old woman, Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. And her mother brought her in because Maria was dying of tuberculosis. Ooh, bad. Now, back then, tuberculosis was like kind of a death sentence. And so he was freaking out because Apparently, over Carl's life, he claimed that he would see the ghost of a stunning, dark-haired woman, and he felt like that stunning woman was going to be the love of his life. Now, first of all, can you imagine being married to this guy, and he starts telling a story about the ghost that visits him? What the fuck? Like, I would not be okay with that. But okay, go marry her then.
That would be, yeah, that'd be so rude being like, hey, I know I'm so married rude. To you, but the love of my life is this ghost. So sorry.
So he believes this, and then in walks Maria, dying, and she needs his help. So of course, he wants to help her. So he gets to work. He's convinced that she is it for him, and he starts taking care of her in her family's home, and he showers her with gifts. He tells her that he loves her. He tells her family that he loves her, like the whole thing. And it's recorded that she did not feel the same way.
Oh, God.
But like also she was dying, and he seemed to be her only chance, so she wasn't like, fuck off, you know? He literally tries everything to save her. I say everything, but like, did he ever take her to a qualified doctor? Because he was just an x-ray technician.
Yeah, honestly.
Anyway, he gave her medicine and elixirs and tonics and tried everything that he knew to do, but nothing worked. And then in October of 1931, she passed away. Yeah. So he pays for her funeral. He gets her this expensive mausoleum that only he has the key to.
Oh.
His family is like, this is kind of weird, but also like, funerals are expensive, so yes, he can pay for it. And he loved her, you know? Okay.
This is love. This is what love. This is a healthy relationship.
Yes. So he hires a mortician to prepare her body, and he is heartbroken. Carl ends up visiting Maria Elena for 2 years straight, every single night. And he would, like, sing Spanish love songs to her. He was super dedicated. And the tomb that he bought, I saw a picture of it, and it's insane. It's, like, big and bright white and has fresh flowers always. And her name is like at the front. It was just very intentional, very beautiful. Like clearly he cared a lot about her. For what reason? I don't know. But he did, you know. It's like, I guess it's that thing where you meet someone and you just become obsessed with them. And it's like infatuation. And he just thought she was the ghost, you know?
The like pre-ghost. It's just weird that there was a pre-ghost before she was dead that visited him.
Absolutely. That is kind of strange.
But that could be like him seeing into the future, right?
Well, I think that's what he believed. He was like, I've seen this ghost for so long, and then this woman comes into my life. Clearly, she's the love of my life, and then she dies.
It's like, I've seen you dead. This mm-hmm. is the one. Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, not for long, she dies, because things get a little weird.
Great.
And he abruptly gets fired from his job 2 years after Maria Elena's passing. And he stops visiting the grave, which her family found kind of
weird
because
he loved her.
He was so intense about visiting her every night. Well, it turns out, so bad. It turns out he had taken her body from the gravesite and moved it into his apartment.
Carl, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Carl? So he had an abandoned airplane hangar that he converted into, like, a medical facility. I put little quotation marks because, okay.
That is so suspicious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he spent a couple of weeks maintaining the corpse because it had been, obviously, in a tomb for 2 years. He basically did a bunch of DIY tricks to preserve the body as much as possible. So, like, he put glass eyes into her eye sockets. Like, he replaced a lot of the decomposed skin with silk coated in wax and plaster. He also just coated the body in perfumes and oils because the smell of death and decay was so strong. And he would do this for years. Like, always just strong perfume, strong fresh flowers, all of that sort of stuff because the smell was so bad. Her hair had fallen out. And so he ended up making a wig from her past haircuts, like hair clippings that I guess her mom had kept and gave to him.
Oh, that's weird.
Why? You know, like, it's kind of sketchy that he wants that, but okay. And so he made that little wig. She had a short haircut wig, you know, short queen. He used coat hangers and wires to make sure that she could stand upright and then stuffed her abdomen with rags to keep her physical, like, composure, like her body.
Nope.
Oh.
This man.
No. I do not like him at all.
Y'all, listen. There was even a tube inside her vagina.
Carl!
It's bad.
No.
He never admitted to necrophilia, but like, why would it be there? Why?
Yeah.
Why would it be
I'm
there?
Stressed.
Why is there a tube there? Yeah, I know. I'm going to, yeah, my notes, my outline notes literally says throws up because I'm disgusted. Okay.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah. So while he was working on her body, he also made a 1,000,000-volt Tesla coil, which is like a lot of energy. And basically his idea was that he wanted to use it to electrocute her into being revived. And he tried, y'all, bless him, he tried. There's an insane ass pic of him next to the Tesla coil that he made that we'll also post.
But like,
man, our Instagram is just full of like insane people.
But like,
also just like a Frankenstein situation.
Yeah, he knows that's not possible. What is wrong with him?
I don't think he knows that, Taylor. That's the thing.
He should.
Like,
you know, science just wasn't where it was like in the 30s. Like, they
I don't know if it was
she,
that.
She like, didn't have any of her organs. And he's like, I'm still going to.
She did not. That is true. They were rags. well, listen, and it gets a little bit more bananas. So
oh, good.
He takes her, you know, body, which at this point looks more like a doll than a person, which, by the way, he also like painted on eyebrows, like on her silk wax, you know, face. And the eyebrows were so thin. Like, that's not cute. Like, y'all need to make sure that your eyebrows are well filled in if you can.
Men don't know how to do eyebrows.
Men don't know how to do eyebrows. Not even this doctor. Okay. So he takes the body.
Not all men.
He's done with
not
it.
All men. Right.
Okay. All right. And he takes it to his apartment. And he perfumes it all the time, like I said. And he lived as if she was alive. He would sleep next to her. He would dance with her. He would sing to her. He'd buy her gifts constantly. Obviously, it's never confirmed, but why is the tube there? And he lived in a small town at the time. So people started talking like, oh, Carl's in a good mood. Who's making Carl so happy? You know, this little weird scientist man. Who's he buying gifts for? Like, this is so strange. And obviously, Maria Elena's family were kind of weirded out because they had been really close to him. And then suddenly he stops visiting the grave. Doesn't really talk to them anymore, like, is just very detached, and suddenly meets this new woman. Who's the new woman, they want to know? Well, okay.
She's not
also
new.
A little boy, not new, yep. She's just new and improved.
They
the
just
same model.
Rekindled the flame, you know?
Mm-hmm. Also, this is terrible. A little boy reported seeing him dancing with what seemed to look like a doll. Yikes. That's traumatizing to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was living, you know, what he felt was his best life. And then one day, Maria Elena's sister was like, I need to go meet this woman because what is going on? She walks into his apartment. And of course, there's someone that vaguely looks like her sister.
Oh.
And dot, 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 dot. Sure enough, it's her sister. She realizes that. So she alerts the authorities, takes Maria Elena's body away. They arrest Carl. The trial obviously becomes a massive scandal. He's on trial for grave robbing and mummification. And I guess nothing else.
Like, what's the charge for having a bad personality?
Yeah. But, like, I didn't know that you could have, like, a key to a mausoleum that gives you direct access to a body. I didn't know that was a thing.
I think he put a lot of money into the mausoleum and into, like, the whole
so
prep thing. And I guess
it.
They were just
yeah.
like, give the rich man things. Yeah. He said, so during this trial, he basically said that the more that he visited Maria Elena, the more he felt her spirit tell him, take me away. Like, I'm stuck here. I don't want to be here. I want to be with you, whatever. And so he was like, okay, and he did it. He also said that he wanted to blast her into the stratosphere because he felt like the electrical energy from space would revive her solar neurons.
Was he like looking for like, okay, so he saw this ghost in his dreams or whatever and he loved her, blah blah blah, but like, so was he like trying to revive her spirit, or was her, did he say like her spirit was still there? Do you know what I mean?
No, he said her spirit was still there. He wanted to revive
her physical body.
Her physical body. Yes. And this is so bananas to me, but you know what? People romanticize serial killers all the time. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, he's so bananas romantic and sweet. Like,
no.
Like,
he's
this
so
strange,
romantic.
Eccentric guy, like, loved her so much, blah, blah, blah. And this man, y'all, he was cleared of all charges.
What?
Yes. because of the statute of limitations. So fun, so fun. He had lived with Maria Elena's body for 7 years, and apparently that's enough time to not be guilty of grave robbing or mummification.
Well, yeah, love that.
But like,
love that. Yeah. And obviously, so we're in the 30s. He, free and clear, you know, goes away, lives his life. And then they end up putting Maria Elena's body on public display, because that's what you do with mummies, I guess, before finally burying her in an unmarked grave so he would not find her again.
That's sad.
That is very sad.
You have to like hide a body from somebody?
Because like he was so obsessed with her.
Ew, I don't like that at all.
Which is like so gross, because literally he met her once and then was like, okay, she's the one. And I'm just like, dude. What? No.
Date a little bit. You know, get to know her.
Get to know her. Yeah, she has tuberculosis, but you know, there's probably a lot of other conversations you could have been having.
So that's the conclusion. That's the story. I hate that, you know, he got away with it, but if it makes y'all feel better, he died alone and was found 3 weeks after he died in his home. So
yeah, that makes me feel better. I feel so good now. Nika, thank you for sharing that nightmare. And I am excited to have bad dreams tonight. So thank you. And guys, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the different types of effigies you can make, you know. So let's make our own. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations questions that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, guys, welcome to the last section of Cadaver Gals today. And Nika was talking about a terrible thing that happened, something we like to do on this show. And Carl made Maria Elena into an effigy, basically. So we were thinking about, you know, what is an effigy? Could we make our own? Like, what would be the best fit for our own effigies? And because I think Nika has expressed in the past that, you know, she would love to have a sculpture mm-hmm. of herself, you know, after she dies. So let's figure out what might be a good fit for us. Okay.
I didn't know what an effigy was before you started talking about it. Can you tell us what an effigy is?
Basically, it is just any sort of model or structure of somebody. Like, so it's very vague. They don't have to be dead or alive, but just like a structure of a person, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But like a DIY version, not like a...
Well, some are not that DIY. Okay. There's some... Sometimes a lot of work goes into these effigies. It just really depends on what you want. And so it's sort of like the most common effigy, I would say, is the political effigy. Because, you know, you need to set your intention with your effigy. So we're doing the political stance. And political effigies could date back to 1328, when some troops of the Holy Roman Emperor at the time burned a straw puppet that was supposed to represent the Pope. So that was cool of them. That's like, you know, the first sort of burning of an effigy that we have written down. And this practice of burning political people is still done throughout the world, from like India to the Philippines to the US to Afghanistan. There's all sorts of people who be burning political effigies. And it's, you know, it's a statement. It's like a literal roast of somebody, you know, just being like, hey, you fucked up. We don't like you. Yeah, we're not going to burn you for real. That would be crazy. So we're just going to burn a likeness of you. And you can build this effigy out of wood, straw, wax, lots of other different materials. American presidents are a widely popular effigy to burn around the world, from Bush to Trump to Obama. We are hated around the world for a variety of reasons. If you like Google Afghanistan George Bush effigy burning, you get a beautiful gallery of photos of different George Bush effigies.
I think now that you explained effigies, we have those in Colombia. We do them for New Year's Eve, but it's only like in smaller towns. And I remember when I was younger, driving past like a smaller town, we were going to like another city or whatever, and I saw these, they looked like dolls. And they were outside of everyone's home. Like, there was one doll per household. And what they do is they fill it with fireworks, and it represents, like, the past year. And then at midnight, they light them on fire. Slash, like, you know, turn the fireworks on. I don't know how fireworks work. And then they explode into the air.
Oh, that's exciting.
That is fun. I feel like we should have done that for 2020. Or going into 2021.
We definitely should have done that for 2020. I'll do it next year. I'll do it this year.
Great.
Yeah, because that's another use of, like, beyond the political effigy, there's also seasonal effigy. So there's lots of different people around the world who, yeah, for the transition between seasons or around any, like, particular holidays, there's usually an effigy burning, you know, or a lighting on fire, or even the effigy, you know, a piñata is an effigy in many ways. So, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pinatas are used for, more of like a political stance. So you can like, you know, have your Donald Trump pinata and beat the shit out of it, or, you know, whichever sort of pinata person that you want. Also, fun fact, pinatas were originally made out of clay bowls, which does sound more exciting to break.
Ooh, yeah, the sound.
A little more dangerous, though, right?
Sure. Yeah, dangerous as heck.
You'd need goggles. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, Nika, if we made a pinata of you, what do you think it should be filled with, you know?
Like press-on nails, obviously.
Yeah, that would be a good choice.
Like the click-clack on the ground as they all spread everywhere. And they're all different colors, all different sizes. You've got almond-shaped, you've got coffin-shaped, you've got square-shaped, you've got oval-shaped.
That would be fun once you, like, break it open and then you, like, get it what you can. And then you would have just, like, this crazy combination of nails.
Absolutely, yeah. Press-on nails and, like, little Vaseline jars.
Nice.
A staple. You're welcome, everyone. Stay moisturized.
And Instagram.
Instagram the concept.
Instagram the concept. Just iPhones.
Just falls out iPhones. Of the pinata.
Yeah. I think mine would just be filled with like Lord of the Rings DVDs. Yeah. You know, just smash them open. You know, just a handful of DVDs.
Wait, Taylor, would yours just be Gus coming out of the pinata?
Yeah.
I don't think we should put Gus in a pinata, though. Because you do remember how you have to open up a pinata. That would be...
beat
it. Oh, no.
Yeah. So just a little trigger warning. Post-trigger warning.
I know.
Animal beating.
No!
Okay.
My gosh.
It's a post-trigger warning. That's how it works.
What you just heard, that was a trigger. Sorry about that.
So sorry. We just triggered you. My bad. I don't know if, Nika, you fall into this like political effigy burning, but I did find a different type of effigy that I think you might be more on board with. It is a funereal effigy made of kings and queens that was done in England and France starting in the medieval time period. So here's what happens. Basically, when a monarch would die, what they would do is they would make a sculpture of them out of wood, wax, and cloth. And before the next royal was coronated, everyone had to treat that effigy as if it was a real person.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So, like, the servants had to wait on it. They had to dress it and probably in very elegant finery, which I thought you might like. And then also, you know, I imagine they had to take, like, the king's counsel and they had to talk to this, like, effigy. Because, like, before the next person was coronated, which I'm just like, that is so silly.
That is insane.
So, yeah. So I feel like this would be a good fit for you because I know we've talked about, like, royalty. You would like to be royalty. Mm-hmm. I would be the mm-hmm. jester.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor would take care of the horses.
I would be,
the stable
grounds,
girl.
The grounds girl.
The grounds girl. Grounds the girl keeper. Of the grounds. The groundskeeper.
I do feel like, though, once you're gone, like, you're gone. Like, your spirit is gone. Body is whatever. I want, like, a sculpture to remember. I don't need a sculpture for people to wait on me because that's a little bit insane.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure. We'll keep that in mind. So
keep me away from the Carl Tanzlers of the world.
Yeah, I think this is a good clarifying moment for us. And yeah, but then after they would coronate the people, then they would just like, you know, store the effigy, you know, like back in the janitor's closet or whatever. Like they're just like, what do we do? They're like, it feels weird to like get rid of this, like throw this away, like this effigy. I think we should, but we also don't know what to do with it. So they would sometimes, yeah, they would just like store it. Exactly. It was a very specific
hoarding. Can you imagine opening a closet and there are like full life-sized wooden dolls of all these kings and queens?
I imagine them like strewn about too, like not like it's just like thrown tossed in there. Like I don't know what to do with you.
Oh no!
Sorry.
Like sometimes they would put them in the tombs, like or like on top of the tombs or whatever. But then they would just be like and now they're like on display in like a museum. But it is kind of freaky.
How meta, like to have your effigy guarding your tomb with your actual body inside of it. How bananas is that?
So bananas.
It's super
Thanks.
Bananas.
Thanks, Taylor.
Anyway, so effigies, they be happening, but they don't do this anymore. You know, there's not effigies of the, you know, UK royals anymore. So
good to know.
Sadly. Yeah.
Prince William effigy.
Yeah.
If y'all do an effigy of Prince William, make sure it's when he's younger, because he looks a little beat up now.
Yeah, he sure does. Like,
he was, awarded. I don't know the word I'm looking for here.
Oh, yeah. Like most beautiful bald man. Have you seen The Rock?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen Mr. Clean?
There's so many.
Have you seen Pitbull?
Have you seen Pitbull? Though I'm thinking that the royal family is like so racist that they're like, we're going to stop our effigy making now with like Meghan Markle. Like, that's the reason.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to stop doing
effigies. Honestly, for all we know, there are the effigies still there in the closet.
I mean, they're in a museum now, but maybe they probably do
the
put them in a
effigies.
Closet. Oh, yeah. Secret. The royal secret family effigy. Secret effigies.
Oh, we just started a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, we did. See? Starts with... Ah.
Starts with us being just like, well, hell.
Well, hell.
Well, hell. The royal family's racist. What are we going to do?
Okay. I feel like I learned or relearned or remembered that people are just very strange.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good
Thanks,
conclusion.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah.
That's great.
You're welcome.
People are strange.
They're
and
so
I
strange.
Think that's the new log line for the series. People are strange. And they die. This is
then,
what
like
happens.
A little shrug. Yeah.
A little shrug.
We
little
know
winky
two
face.
Things.
Little,
winky shrug.
They're strange and they die.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Taylor, for that. That was a beautiful conclusion.
You're welcome.
And Nika, thank you for sharing your story. Taylor, thank you for sharing your story. You know, and we're gonna get out of here. And, do other things now. So we'll talk at you next week. Bye.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of iHeartRadio and School of Humans. And just so you know, we recorded this episode before Prince Philip died, so sorry for that relatively insensitive seeming riff there at the end. Oops! Cadaver Gals is produced by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. And you can follow us on the internet, on Instagram and Twitter, at Cadaver Gals.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.